Blog Talk Radio.
I said that I'd never fall again.
within myself I was wrong. My searching ain't over. Over.
everybody. How's it going? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman's Spiritual Link Talk Radio here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the show, and how are you? If you want to give a call in here, get a reading, get some answers, and I recommend that you do so by calling 646-721-9031. If that's too fast for you, then I extend, you should use your clairaudience, and you'll never miss it. Now, the number again is 646-721-9031. We have people in the queue now, so you better call in because it's filling up quick. If you're in the chat room, please call and get a reading. If not, we'll be checking periodically. And if you have any questions, just IM me. That you can tell me if you want to put it on the show, or you want to keep it to us, or that whatever. The same thing too with situations. I guarantee you guys, it's great to do readings on shows like this and that kind of stuff, get some insights. But realistically, it's all about getting to know the psychic. So therefore, take the next step. Sit down and do a nice private session. Because I guarantee you, you get a reading from me, it'd be one of the best readings you ever had. Okay, we got cards, insight, gifts. Angels, archangels, sun masters, God, everybody working for you. Now, if you want to take advantage of the situation and get one of these readings right now for only $77 this month, this is the month special for July. $77 gets you a 75-minute reading. All right. If there's any other variations or readings you'd like to do too, as well, then contact me at 740-500-8863, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The information is also in the chat room, so if you need the information, just don't hesitate to ask, because it's great to get readings on the show, but when it comes to the really personal matters and the information and getting deep into the situation and having the time and the focus, it's best to do a one-on-one private reading. So, also, I work on a random. That's oranum.com, that's oranum.com, where you can actually see me on webcam, and you can talk to me in chat, and I have a free chat room, but when it comes to private readings, we have a button that says private, therefore we can take our sessions to private. Right now, I'm having a special on there, where I'm only $3.99 a minute, but well worth it, but we put everything we can into our readings. To make sure that you have the best reading that you have ever had, plus also to give you all the insights, the answers, and direction, and guidance, and advice that you need. Okay? I also work on Keen, too, as well. Keen is KEEN.com, where you can call me, or we can talk in chat. On Keen, chat is not free. But for only $1.25 a minute, you can get a nice reading, an insightful reading, one of the best readings you ever had. So we give you all kinds of formats. I personally like working with people face-to-face. So if you're here in the Colorado Springs area or in Colorado, and you are in Denver, Colorado Springs, Old Colorado City, Two Springs are in the vicinity, please don't hesitate to give me a call and let's do a private session face-to-face. Or call me on the phone. We can also do it through Skype as well. My Skype name is donald.reed8. Or I do have a phone number, but if you want to do a face-to-face reading through Skype, you're going to have to use the name, okay? So it's best just to call me or through Skype or call me through the phone, quickest access and that kind of thing. I also do email readings, too, as well. And this month we have a 5-card, 3-question email readings you can get for only $14.95, okay? So go to the website. You'll see what they originally cost. It's the idea of also, if you're going to do an email reading, email me first with the information and then go to the website and push donation, put your $14.95 on your variation of credit cards or PayPal, whichever is good for you. Because our PayPal, our buttons on our website are detailed for if you just have a credit card or PayPal. So keep that in mind too as well. And also, I changed everything on my website, so it'd be great to get some feedback on it, too. So if you have any suggestions, or you just want to say, hey, I like it, let me know. I also have Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/PsychicXJourneyman Donnie Reed. drop me a line. Or if you want to do a reading, you can also you could also contact me through there. So there's a lot of ways to contact me, so let's do it. I love doing readings, and every time someone calls me, it's the chance to do what I love to do. So the number again is 740-500-8863, or contact me through my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And Dee's usually with us. I don't know what happened. If you're out there, Dee, come on back. We have callers in the queue, so we're going to sit there and say something about the idea of twin flames. If people think twin flames and soulmates, oh, it's going to be nice and flowers and fireworks. You know something, it can be if you're in the right place at the time when you meet these people. But, you know, the idea of calling it in, we're all using affirmations, and so many people out there are using spells and pushing the situation and bringing, and these two people are coming together. So they are going to be learning experiences. And as long as you live on this earth, any kind of situation or relationships and that kind of stuff have a tendency to go there. I had a lady the other day who sat there and said, I told her that she was hanging on to a T-shirt. She loved the scent of this guy that she used to be with. And she didn't realize that she was having a relationship with that T-shirt. People don't realize it's a connection. I think most people think that relationships, when it comes to romantic side, when we say connection, we say relationships, they think sex. No. I'm thinking about loving somebody and missing their smile, missing them, the essence who they are. When we talk about intimacy, we're not talking about sex. We're not talking about making love either. We're talking about intimacy. We're talking about being intimate with your lover, your life partner, your significant other, which means expressing your deepest desires, your deepest secrets, your deepest you to your other. Okay? Those are soulmate twin flame connections. The deeper the connections, the better the outcome. But they're also spiritual connections. So the spiritual connection, of course, the spiritual connection will be perfect because the spirit is perfect. But the body and the mind, where are they at? And they also contribute to the situation too as well on how these relationships play out. If you can't really realistically picture yourself living without a person, you might have that kind of connection. And just because you're not together doesn't mean you're not. I am sick of hearing this. Well, I guess this wasn't a twin flame connection because we're not together. Okay? It's not a soulmate connection because we're not together. You know, two people come together, and realistically, the situation goes like this. Two people look at each other, and they both get it. Okay, but in a situation where a person is not with their twin flame at that moment, it's because one accepted it, embraced it, and the other one accepted it and ran away from it. So that is not in any kind of shape or form the indication of not having that kind of relationship. It's the ideal. We have to realize that when we meet each other, in any kind of scenario, any kind of situation, we are going to reflect back to each other where we are at in our lives at that moment. So, therefore, most likely, if the person ran away from it, they're running away from themselves. So don't blame yourself, okay? Just look at the situation. Don't try to analyze it either. Oh, how does he feel? What does he want? Who cares? Okay? Now, most people say, aren't we supposed to care? If you're together and you're working together, and you're a team, you worry about it. If you're not, you look at yourself, because this person ran away from himself because of the reflection that you were giving him. What was the reflection he was giving you? So therefore, you need to look within yourself. You need to look at yourself. Everybody needs to learn one thing. Every situation is a reflection back at you. So you're not supposed to analyze them. You're supposed to focus on you. All right. Now, on that side, let's look at the situation. We have a book here. Check it out, guys. The Soulmate Secret, Manifesting the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction by Ariel Ford. Okay. Check it out in your bookstores. Go to Amazon.com. I guarantee you, this book will change your life. Okay? And we want you also to look at the other thing, too. We want you to connect with the angels. We want to connect with the angels very good. To realize there's angels on the outer plane, there's angels on the inner plane. Now we're going to focus on the angels on the inner plane. There's a book out there called Angel Energy, Harnessing How to Harness the Power of Angels in Your Everyday Life by a guy named John Randolph Price. This book is full of angels. It's also kind of summarizing the other book that he had, where it actually goes over each angel. Now I want you to sit here and look at the situation, if I can find the freaking book. All right, the book is right here. And this is another book by John Randolph Price. He also has another book called Super Beings. Check it out. Super Beings also gives you the 12 levels of spirituality. Okay, now in this book here, it talks about angels within us, a spiritual guide to the 22 angels that govern our lives on the inner plane. Yeah. All right. Now this book, when you look in the context, you'll see that it says the angel of unconditional love and freedom. There's also another one here that says angel of loving relationships. Now those are the two we want to focus on, the ideal of manifesting our soulmates and our twin flames, okay? The reason is why? Because it's the idea of looking at the situation, okay? Why did it say angels of loving relationships? Why did it not say angels of romantic relationships? Because every relationship in your life, including the one with yourself, are very important. But realistically, all they are is loving relationships. And depending on how you love that person, or what you see in that person, or what your expectations is, usually determines how you express that love. So therefore, let's keep that in mind. Check out the books, guys. Let's get on with our callers. And let's talk. Let's ask. Let's answer some questions. What do you say? All right, we're going for our first caller here. First caller is 646. Hello, 646. How are you today, and what's your name? Hello, 646-622. We won't tell you the last three, the four numbers, but we are talking to you. And I could have swore that you were in the queue with that freaking little question mark next to you, and that's why we're talking to you. 646, are you there? 646. Hello? Hello? 646-666-6466. You're on the show. Hello. Are you there? There. Oh. Wow. I'm just kidding, guys. There was an echoing going on. Anyway, 646-622-76, and no last two numbers. But I'm going to sit there and say, hey, guy, hello. Are you there? I mean, if you're just listening to the show, I think you should be listening to the show and realizing that somebody's talking to you right now. This is not a voice in your head. This is not your subconscious. This is not your angels. This is the Psychic X Journey Show talking to you right now. We can get to these expectations where we feel very strongly that you at least have a couple of questions that you want to get some answers to. Okay, on that note, we'll put you back on hold. All right, that was weird. We're having D, call back in. For some reason, when you click on one, the other one disappears. Interesting, isn't it? All right, guys, give us a call here. 646-721-9031. Number again is 646-721-9031. And since there's nobody in the queue actually answering, I guess they're listening. Again, if you want to contact me for private readings, we're trying to really get as much clients as we can in this month. We have a goal that we want to hit at least 3,000 clients this month. We want to hit it up. We want to talk to those people through my website, www.psychicxjourneyman.com. So once you contribute and help us hit that goal, you'll get your answers to your questions, and we'll hit our goals. We also have a lot of things in the works right now where we're trying to really, you know, put it all in there so we can get ourselves ready for September and October, because we feel like they're going to be very busy months too. So therefore, the idea of getting all the bills and everything paid in full and that kind of stuff be fantastic. Also, I want to sit there and ask people out there, I would love for someone to call me right now. We're looking for at least five sponsors for this show to sponsor us. I think this is a fantastic show. The one thing we want to sit there and strive to do is our passion for helping people. And it seems the idea of relationships and careers, those are the toppers, but the idea of the situation is what I want to do. Like with relationships, everybody says, oh, you must be really wanting a relationship. I said, you know, I want everybody else to have fantastic relationships with themselves. Romantic relationships, relationships with their families. But the ideal it starts with the ideal sitting down and talking about it and getting to know who you are. So therefore, it's very important. So we all look at these situations. We're also, you know, five donate. We're looking for five sponsors to sponsor the show. We would really like to do a fantastic show, and we want to do the Premium Plus. So if you're out there listening in and you've heard this show before and you want to help us and be a sponsor for this show, please contact me at 740-500-8863. I would love to sit down and talk to you. If you're out there and you love the format of this show, we would really appreciate donations right now. So donate to the show. And we want to sit there and really, really put a lot of more into this show and more and more and more and more. You know, three shows a week takes a lot of time and effort, a lot of timing, a lot of thinking, a lot of ideals and cohesive. And right now, it's just me doing all these things. It'd be great to have some creative minds kicking in and helping me out, giving us some insights and that kind of stuff. I mean, if you want to contact me through an email, through psychicxjourneyman.com at my website for any kind of input or insights, too, it'd be great. And for all donations, we thank you so much, and keep them coming in. And right now, realistically, we're looking for, I guess we have to sit there and say, the need for donations would be great. I don't care what it is. We, you know, donate anything you like. There's no specification what you have to donate. You can donate anything. All right, so therefore, on the situation of wanting to donate to the show, if you're a person who'd like to donate to this show and think, I don't know if I should call in and ask him if I could get a reading for that, don't hesitate. Ask. If you're a person who looks at my website and go, whoa, look at the prices. Don't let the prices stop you. Look at the situation of the value. All right? It has worth. And for some reason, you want to get one of those readings. You feel like it's worth it, but you don't have the money to pay for the price that's on the website. Call me, 740-500-8863. And I guarantee you, I can work with anybody's budget, with anybody's request. You just have to make that request. All right? So again, sponsorship. Love to have some people working with me, sponsor the show. You can be a silent sponsor, or you can be a public sponsor. And I guarantee you, the advertising and the promotion that we would give you for you, your product, your service, whatever it is, I guarantee you will be getting calls off the freaking wall. All right? So if you want to get a private reading with me, private readings right now, $77 for a 75-minute reading. Our 75-minute readings go for $125. So you see, it's great value and a great special, and therefore, what's the hesitation? There should be no hesitation, no procrastination. Get a reading. I would love to sit down with each and every one of you and do a fantastic reading. Show you the ideal, what a fantastic, insightful, one of the best readings you'll ever have is like. Given the chance. So therefore, if you're hearing it, thinking about it, and if you're thinking about any kind of shape or form out there, guys, you want one. So therefore, count your money up, call me up and say, this is what I got, and let's work together. Okay, guys? Sounds great. Okay, guys, let's get some calls. Let's get some people coming in here into the queue. Now, the number is 646-721-9031. We might even go over some affirmations. Then we got the books. Excuse me. Your soulmate's waiting. What are you waiting for? It's the idea of focusing on you, too, as well. So keep that in mind. I was sort of looking at all the ideals. Angels are great, aren't they? It's the idea of opening yourself up to the situation. People ask the question a lot, too. How can you open up to your angels? Your angels are like, hello, you know? What you need to do is look down your resistance, because more likely you have a resistance. You believe in angels, but not to the extent where you can actually let down your guard, where you can let down who you are and realize that you are already connected to the angels in the spiritual realm because you are a spiritual being. So what you got to do is look down the resistance of what the human body tells you, as in physical, and really focus on the ideal spirituality, because what most people are right now focusing. Also, guys, with the idea of April Angel Medium, fantastic reader in the sense, but when the idea of a person who has a tendency to freaking, I don't know, I don't think it's really professional to go on Facebook and to slam somebody with your personal opinions. I think it's one of those things that it should be more professional. So the idea of April Angel Medium or Angel April Angel Psychic, okay. You know, it's like people sit there and try to shove things down your throat. She was on the show yesterday. I'm not really sure about the situation of the person herself, but you be the judge and go contact her. April Angel Psychic. I think her website, you can contact her through Facebook. And I think her Facebook is still April Angel Medium. And you can check her out for yourself. But you know something? I'm kind of leery about the situation. So therefore, it's just one of those things of cautioning people that when you walk into the situation, you know, let your resistance down to see the truth, to see what's really going on. Is this person really being true to herself and the situation of what she gives to her clients? Because I have a hard time with people and that kind of thing when they have a tendency to say they don't learn that much from doing readings. Because, like we said before, every person reflects something back at you and something you need to learn and pay attention to and take notice of. So therefore, you can actually grow spiritually and emotionally. And if you're not doing that, then how can you be doing any kind of justice for your clients? Because you're saying you need to grow, you need to focus, you need to look into the situation, you need to do what's going on. Because I know I do. When I work with people, I open myself up because every reading I do usually reflects what's going on in my life at that moment. So therefore, I get the answers from my angels and guides, and I also have experience and have gone through the same things myself to even add to more intensity of a great reading. So therefore, I know for a fact that when I give them direction or the advice to go in a certain direction, I can really have a lot of confidence in it. That's why I can be so fast and accurate when I pick up on things with people very quickly. It's because the ideal, the reflection, you learn from the reflection, you learn how to help others in the process of helping yourself. In the process of healing yourself, so do you heal the world, okay? So therefore, think about these things, okay? If you think she's a fantastic reader, more power to you. It's just the, I guess, sometimes in a situation of being personally slammed by somebody who wants to walk around and act like they didn't do anything or they haven't done anything, I think that could be placed in the category of a liar. But you be the judge. You do what you want to do. You focus. I've actually seen the lady do some fantastic readings, very accurate. Okay? So that's it. We was looking at the situation of saying angels, the angel of love, the angel of loving relationships. You know, in the process of loving relationships, you really can't have any loving relationships, can you, unless you love yourself? So think that and take that in mind. I think it's very important to do so. All right, you're 646. Are you there? Hello? Hello? I'm having a little trouble this freaking switchboard, man. It's driving me nuts. All right, here we go. Hello?
Hello, darling.
How you doing? How are you?
I'm here. Yeah.
So you're having problems?
It's a hot day. You've been having trouble every time I called in. You said that I pressed one. When I pressed one, I disappeared.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I pushed on. And then I could. Yeah?
Yes, it's just been the weather and everything. It's been funny. We lost the power this morning, and I don't even know why. It wasn't raining or anything.
Jeez. What happens with the heat?
Yeah, the heat.
Yeah, those plants have a tendency to heat up there. They got much heat going through them anyway. That's what we were talking about, the idea that a lot of people are thinking about changing the way we transfer electricity and start using crystals. And the reason they want to do that is because crystals can handle it without getting overheated. They can handle it twice as much as the lines we have now with the copper, because the copper will start basically melting. We were also talking about the idea of Atlantis, and I was sitting there looking at there are certain stones that you can get a hold of where you can actually enhance the idea of connecting to past lives that have to do with association with Atlantis. I thought it was kind of cool itself. The only reason I was even saying anything about a certain person is because she slammed me on Facebook last night, and I couldn't understand why. You know, I said what I said, and I never blamed her for anything. I just said, hey, you know, I guess you don't want this anymore because you're not making time for it anymore, so therefore I'm not getting any time. And it was one of those things of telling people, I said, I'm sorry, but when it comes to relationships, I'm tired of assholes who work their asses off and sit there and look at their family and say, and deal with it when they have the problem. Okay? They're working their butts off. They work 24/7. I'm sorry, guys, but when it comes to relationships, and I will say guys, and women are starting to get stupid about it too because they want those men's jobs. And they don't realize in the process of taking on men's lives, what happens is you also take on the health issues and everything that goes with it. So it's like called consequences of your actions. So if you want them, deal with them. And now the ideal, and you think it's kind of like overboard? Do you know that heart disease among women has increased because of that? And so therefore, there are statistics that back it up. So don't, you all can go whatever you want to say. I do my research before I open my mouth. Now, the situation, I get a person who's working her butt off. And I'm working, I'm busy. To me, that sounds like avoidance. So therefore, take it for what it is. If you keep pushing people off like this, we've seen this before in the real world, guys. Okay, we've seen this time and time again. The family packs up and leaves because the husband doesn't give no attention to the woman, or vice versa. People only deal with so much. They don't like being neglected. And if you're thinking, I'm working, I have a goal. Well, one of your goals is to also love and cherish your spouse. And if your job is taken over to the point where it's your mistress, then you're wrong and your life is unbalanced. That's the key. And also, I guarantee you, somewhere along the line, you're not even dealing with your own emotions or your own feelings because you're using the job because you got control. You can control the job. If you have your own business, you can control those things because it's a physical thing. And love is hard to deal with some people. And I say, no, it's not. I think it's a perception and it's also an illusion. That, you know, like I heard a certain person say she didn't want to take on the responsibility of a boyfriend in a relationship. Most people don't understand the point of, maybe it's an occupational hazard, but I'm also a relationship counselor, and that is denial. That is a person who's seen something, that is a person who has experienced it and wants to walk away from it because they can't deal with it emotionally. Almost like to the point where they never thought they'd ever get something like that, so therefore they didn't even prepare themselves for it. So how can you correct the situation? Well, first of all, you don't run away from it. You confront it. You confront you. More likely these situations are happening. Your family says you're avoiding us when you're actually avoiding yourself. So the answer and the solution is to focus on you. Go back within yourself and ask yourself, why am I working all the time? Because I guarantee you, there's some kind of insecurity you're trying to compensate. And it must be, if it's about money. See, that's another thing, too, people don't realize, too. If a person has an insecurity about money, not getting enough, then they're not giving enough. Because you get what you put out. And if you're not putting anything out there, then you're not getting anything. And people sit there and say, well, I'm working my butt off. You're working on your butt on keeping what you have. You're not focusing on the solution because you got this cycle going on. And you can see it because everybody in your life is being neglected, even you. So therefore, it basically portrays, it plays itself out right in front of you. If you would just take the time to slow down, take a 5-minute break and go, you know something? Take a look in the mirror. What do you see? You see the person is causing all the chaos in their family. Because you're not actually allowing yourself to be a part of the family. So if someone's out there saying, I'm busy, I'm working, and you push the person you say you're in love with to the side and sit there and say, I don't have time for you, they're going to take it personal and they're going to say, you don't have time for me? Well, I think it's about time I find somebody who does. And then you take your stuff. And then people look around and go, where'd you go? What'd you leave? What do you mean, what? I said I left a month ago. And you just now noticed? So once you ask yourself a question, what have you been doing with your life? And you've been so busy hanging on to what you got and telling everybody you're so important, you haven't taken the time that the people that you say are important to you left. I still feel like this. It's like the idea, you follow your heart. you always know the truth, and you will never do things like that. People who are in their head thinking too much are avoiding everything, even the point of the ideal of having that love for themselves and having those great relationships. So, you know, it's very important that people think it, really think it. Look, you know, I've actually worked with people before where I say, you know, every 6 months, slow down and assess your life and ask yourself, is there really balance in your life? Because if you're a person who's burnt out, who keeps working all the time, who's tired and stressed out, and when you come home, the first thing you want to do is go to bed, then your life is unbalanced. And also, the people who are sitting there saying, I got to work, your job is controlling you. You have given your power to your job, because in the process, seriously guys, in the process of manifestation, things are supposed to work in a win-win situation. Win-win situations means you win, they win, everybody wins. And they do happen all the time. I guarantee you, I can show you prime examples of these things happening all the time. So if you don't believe me, go look for them. I guarantee you'll find them. Like attracts like. So if you want it, you get it. You'll get it. I'm telling you. But it's amazing how people sit there and say it's hopeless. It's useless. And they're always looking. There's another sign for a person who's in denial. Is a person who sits there and goes, this is not what, this can't be what it is. See, did you hear the statement? This can't be what it is. The last part tells you that it is what it is. The first part is the denial part, saying, I don't want this. See, that's the truth. They don't want it. Doesn't mean it's not happening. Doesn't mean it's not real. It means they don't want it. And I think in relationships, to sit there and push somebody away until you figure out what you want to do is the most selfish thing you can do. Because, see, realistically in relationships, how they're supposed to work is being supportive of each other. And when one person doesn't, it throws the balance off the relationship. And more likely, with the presence of a person who's also unbalanced, it also has a tendency to throw everybody else off balance if they don't back away from it. So the idea of someone leaving you was probably because they had to leave you, because they couldn't deal with being hurt and also being treated like they didn't exist in the first place. So why stick around? Okay? So if you want to, you know, want to understand these situations and want to solve these problems, stop neglecting people. Stop neglecting yourself. Because realistically, seriously, guys, if you're sitting there denying everything that's going on in your life and you don't want to face up to it, the only person you're really hurting is you. And that's the message. You're hurting you. You're denying yourself of love. You're denying yourself of this great relationship. You're denying yourself of these great people. Now, this is not self-centeredness. It's the idea like attracts like. And I guarantee if you're sitting there saying I'm worthless, but you see this great person that you're with, and you say, you know something? Why does this person want to be with me anyway? This person is fantastic. This person's great. Then you haven't looked at yourself, because like does attract like. And if you're with a fantastic person, more likely you're a fantastic person too as well. You just haven't taken the time to notice it. And it's also in the process of not taking the time to notice it, you're neglecting your relationship, you're neglecting yourself, and you're hurting somebody on the other side of the whole thing, because you're thinking that they're not a good person because you're not giving anything to them. You know, when a person, I mean, I'll be honest, when someone calls me up, hello, and they're my significant other, I stop everything I'm doing right then. And I answer the phone and I say, hello, what's up? How are you? How's your day going? I will say, if I'm in something, I will sit there and go, you know something? I'm right in a situation right now I want to take care of. But you know something? I really want to talk to you and I want to spend time with you, but I'm right in the middle of something right now. Okay? And I sit there. I schedule something later on. I never tell somebody I'm too busy. What'd you call me for? You're irritating me. You're distracting me. If that was the case, then why didn't I turn the phone off? It's my fault. My decision. Okay? Not the person who called me. Not all the equipment around me is going off and people call it and do all this stuff for me. I've learned to turn the phone off if I'm really into something where I can't answer the phone. Okay? So I don't sit there and say, well, you keep calling me all the freaking time, and you keep bugging me. You keep irritating me. I can't do readings, or I can't do my work. It's not their fault. It's my fault for not turning this stuff off. Being responsible and taking 100% accountability for my actions. So if you want to play the victim, you're only fooling yourself. And every time you sit there and say that to yourself, too, think about it. Somebody out there is ruining my life. You're playing a victim. So take a step back and look at yourself in the mirror and say, are you really a victim? Or you want to play that whole thing because you want attention, because you haven't been giving the attention to yourself. So therefore, we can look at you as a lazy person who won't take the steps to do what you got to do. Don't be lazy. Because like I said before, the only person suffering is you. Take the time. Take the effort. And if you look at life and say, oh, it's a struggle to comb my hair, why is it a struggle? Because you can't find the humor. You can't find anything within those things because you haven't taken a look in yourself. And take a look in yourself. Like when you start looking at you and you start focusing on all your, and you start realizing you have all these gifts and talents and you're fantastic, and you'll start realizing, well, actually, I think what's going to happen is you're going to start living your life again because you know you're a fantastic person. You know you're very gifted and talented. People don't realize that if you walk around like being the victim, you're going to attract victims. You're not really going to attract anybody in your life that you can actually have a productive life with. And so if you want to be successful in life, act like a successful person. Because even with this kind of psychic work, most people think that we're attracting victims. We're not. We're attracting people who have questions, who are looking for answers. Okay? The more successful we are, the more we attract successful people who are also willing to do what it takes and understands what it takes to change and to avert their lives around. Because a lot of us have great careers, and that's the thing. But they're looking for great relationships. And 95% of our clients are looking for great relationships. So if you're a person out there who keeps running away from the things, that's why you don't have one. That's why you don't have a productive one. And instead of bashing somebody and say, well, there's a reason this person is single is because they're controlling. Why don't you look at the situation, what the reflection is? Is it really a person who's controlling you? Or maybe you should take responsibility and control your own life. Because someone's trying to point something out to you, and you're not taking the advice. You want to throw it into freaking, oh, you're trying to control me. You're a control freak. And I said, Jan, you're a whacked out woman who's not even doing anything, but complaining about everything she thinks is going to happen, not realizing self-fulfilling prophecies. And someone's trying to help you and motivate you to go one way. And you're sitting there going, look at the situation and ask yourself, what am I saying those things for? You know? On the other hand, you're right. The other person should be looking too. They're doing too much. They're trying to do the whole relationship, and they should step back too and look at themselves and say, you know, it's not my responsibility to take care of that person. If they choose to fall on their face, maybe they'll learn how to pick themselves up. So, you know, like I said before, all the reflections that cross your path are reflections. They're reflecting back at you about you. What are you going to do? We all need to start learning from these reflections, and our lives just keep getting better and better. Our spiritual growth and emotions, it just keep getting stronger. We start finding that strength within ourselves, and then we walk away. So if you're in a situation, a relationship, and a person walked away from you and refuses to talk to you, maybe they would probably open the communications with you as soon as you open up communication with yourself and start listening to yourself. Start listening to your heart, because I guarantee you, if you listen to your heart, it will spiritually stimulate your mind, so you just won't feel it, you will also see it, and you also notice that you are the illumination that lights up your own path. Not the other people. They're not here to make you happy. That's your responsibility. Okay? So if we have two people, or one person's trying to do it all, the other person is not doing anything, basically running away, they both need to learn one thing. Walk away and look at yourself. Look within yourself and ask yourself, why are you doing? What was this reflection telling you? Telling you about you, not the other person. The other person, that's their responsibility to figure it out. That's where the growth comes from. All right? I'm sitting there looking at the situation. We have an empty queue, guys, so won't you guys all call in? Okay? So, Dee, what do you think?
What?
I said, so, what's the situation?
Let me
ask
you.
No, I was going to ask you before. Go ahead.
You know, this whole mess, I'm sorry you're going through it, but I think that time to step back and just let her be and don't even, just work on, you got to work on yourself. We all do. I'm doing it,
mm-hmm.
but I think it's time not to talk, just to let her be and basically, I don't know how to say this other than to be just playing with it because I feel the only way I know how is don't even talk about her. I mean, she's done what she's done, and that's it. She's got to go her way. You've got to go yours. And like I was thinking last night, if something's going to happen down the line, you know, it'll happen. But for now,
mm-hmm.
it's bad news, and that's unfortunate. But I think one of the things I noticed, because if I'm not mistaken, she's 26. I remember being 26. Or 20. What?
So do I. So do I, Dee. I remember being 26, too, and I had a child.
No.
I was married, 3 jobs.
Right. But where I'm coming from is the fact that I guess I was a late bloomer in the, maturity department. Not that I was a child, but at 25 was when I really left home, really started to grow up. I got married
mm-hmm.
at 26. But I don't think April, she may be 26 years old in age, but I don't think she's maturity-wise, I don't think she's quite up to 26 yet.
I'm just saying, with the situation of experiences and stuff like that, you're right. It's the ideal. I was sitting there looking at the thing going, I knew for a fact how she feels. I know what she did. I know she fell in love. And it was one of those things, it's a combination of a lot of things are coming into your own. And then on top of that, you got those emotions to deal with and that kind of stuff. I understand that. But you know something? To know those things and to look someone in the face and know what's going on, and then know that other person knows what's going on too, and not to say anything about it, and just sit there and go, because I was sitting there talking, I was like, deal with it. When I have a person who's standing in front of me who's having realizations, but still not following through with them, it's aggravating, because she was sitting here going, you know something? I think what I need to do is I need to start following my heart and listening to my heart, more. And I said, well, okay, wow, okay. Yes, you're right. Instead of being in your head 24/7, you're analyzing, thinking. But also the same thing, when you start doing things behind people's back, what intensifies the whole thing, most people don't know it, but I think a lot of people do. But the process is, it's a crazy conversation, it's a crazy relationship when you have two psychics. And people have seen me do readings. They've seen my intensity. I do that with everybody. So therefore, I already know. It's like looking at someone right in the face and saying, you know something? You think you're getting away with all this stuff and you're hiding all these things. You're not. But at the same time, when you see all those things going on, you're right, there should be more maturity, but also that will not always be the same. And but it's almost like a person is trying to stay right there and refusing to grow, and then wanting everybody else to go, I want you all to just stop what you're doing right now until I decide I want to go and do that again. I mean, my decision was like this. When somebody sits there and says, emphasizes on what she wants, I think the one thing that makes us grow and mature is to realize that when we say things and we don't follow through with them, that people are not going to be happy about it, and you're not going to get a happy outcome, and to realize that we don't do those things again. And when you see someone that keeps continually doing the same thing over again and keeps saying, okay, I'm sorry I hurt you, but then turns around and says, well, you hurt me too. Well, we know for a fact that when people do that kind of thing, they're not listening. They're just trying to justify by saying, well, I got hurt too. When we know for, because I was talking about,
don't make a right.
Yes, so we sit there and look at the situation. We also have to take a step back. And people don't like this, and I know why, but they also have to learn how to accept it. And looking at somebody and saying, you hurt me, is playing victim. Because realistically, in the spiritual world, of living that kind of life, you realize one thing: nobody and no thing can hurt you unless you allow them to. And more likely, if you take it one step further, you'll realize what's really hurting you is that voice inside you, which is you. So you're only hurting your the hurt is only hurting yourself, because it's a realization of the truth. And you know what you did, so the truth can hurt. But the truth only hurts you because nobody can hurt you. It was just a realization that the truth was spoken. A realization somewhere along the line that you knew what the truth was too, and now it's being brought to the surface, and there's no way of looking anywhere else. I guess you can ignore it in denial. That's denial, but I was thinking the same thing when someone told me about this yesterday. It's the truth. Nobody can hurt you. You know, so that's the biggest thing you hear all the time, about getting hurt. And just saying, people go, stop. Look at yourself and say, okay, what's hurting you? Some lady came in my chat room last night on a random and said, I was rude, and I was blunt and rude. And I said, no, I was blunt and truthful. And you can't handle it. But here you are, you've been complaining about it for the last 20 minutes, and of how blunt and rude I was. And I said, why don't you take the information that was just given to you and ask yourself why it hurt you? And then I think you'll find out why this really bothers you, which had nothing to do with me. It has something to do more with you. Okay? So look at that. I think you'll have a nice realization about the situation and realize I'm not the problem. And that you're not the problem. It was just a way of actually getting a point across for you to look at something. And, you know, the thing with, the one thing that drove me crazy today, I'm working on a random and April came in the room 3 times. And the thing is, honestly, I will never talk to her until I hear an apology. And I'm sorry to say that, but in the process of yesterday, I think I said to everybody, I don't know if I said anything about it or not, but I said to her and said, I told her, I said, bye, April. I don't think you want this anymore. Have a great life. Bye. Real nice.
You mentioned it.
And yes, and she came back and said, I asked her, I said, did you get my message? And she said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't care what anybody thinks. I think that in the situation of even saying goodbye, she was rude and in denial and pushed me away. And I thought that was the meanest thing you could do, when she could have just looked at the situation and said, bye, and you too have a good life, and left it alone. But she got angry, which we knew why she got angry, because, you know, maybe it's tapping into how she really feels, what she doesn't want to deal with. Obviously, she doesn't want to deal with it, and it obviously does exist, or she wouldn't have said, I don't want to talk about it, because it was going to tap on some feelings that she doesn't want to deal with. So I said, okay, if that's the case, then until you do deal with it, there's nothing, see what I'm saying, but my friend Elaine said yesterday, too, it's the idea of not realizing we don't owe anybody anything. Once they make their statement and they say they won't talk about it anymore, it's time to walk away, because nothing's ever going to get settled until that person understands that there's a problem. And sometimes the idea of pointing out to people that there is a problem is to walk away from it. And that was, like my friend said, every time I would talk to her, and for the last couple of days or 3 days, I've had nothing but knots in my stomach, and just my whole freaking body hurt because of this, her actions. So I said, okay, we're not going to play victim no more. We're going to walk away. We're going to take our power back and say, okay, she loves me, she loves me. She don't, she don't. And the feelings I have for her are real, but that's no reason to stick around and get punished and get beat up until she figures out what she wants to do. And for some reason, she doesn't have no respect for me or the relationship, or she would sit down and at least honor the feelings and play, you know, the whole thing. So we can sit there and say immaturity. I understand what you're saying, the immaturity. But at the same time, we also have to look at a person who is being rude and who is denying something. So therefore, you don't deny and run away from something that doesn't exist. So they know it exists. Of course, they got to deal with it. But they've got, and one thing I hate about, one thing I think with that, it's kind of like you were talking about before, the immaturity here, and she's not mature enough. It's because of her, because of her family. I've never heard a family like this before. I mean, telling a girl, you went to Colorado and you left your family. You were a bad person. We were worried about you. Maybe they didn't say the word bad, but to put that kind of pressure on somebody's shoulders is mean, because that shows me that she's insecure. The whole freaking family is insecure. They're all about drama.
I call it cruel.
So do I. It's cruel because they're trying to make her feel bad so she'll stay home, because they can't get any kind of freaking confidence or any kind of trust that she won't walk out there and get killed. And that, to me, actually goes along with most Baptist families who say they have faith, but their actions speak other words. You can't look at it any way.
I don't agree with that, partly because part of my upbringing wasn't an American Baptist church.
I'm just saying, in some Baptist families. I mean, I came from a Baptist family,
because,
too.
Coming
from a Baptist family, same
Baptist.
Thing.
Yeah.
And everybody was worried to death. You know, they're like, you're going to go out there, something's going to happen. I'm sitting there going, hold up. I said, you know something? I've been taught that worry is a lack of faith. And these people worry more than everybody I've seen. So, you know, that's kind of a contradiction. You know, not you, I'm saying it's a contradiction that when they sit there and say, I have faith, but then they worry about everything in the world. That's a contradiction, because that's a lack of faith when they do have faith. So they don't realize, I have faith. But your action is saying, oh, really? Seriously. You need to take a look at that one again. And what I'm saying is, I kicked April out of my room 3 times a day. And she still, two times, and she still came back in there. I said, you know something?
Ignore
you said something.
That's the best thing you can do.
I'm just saying, I kicked her out of the room, and then the third time she came in back in the room again, she said, hey, everybody. I'm sitting there going, I'm sorry, the card said that you would do this, that you would act like there's no problem. Take according actions, stand up for your beliefs, and stand up for who you are. So since she wouldn't stay out of the room, I just logged off at random and said, I'll just, and plus I realized it was 5:30, so I only had a half hour to go to the show, so I'm sitting going, that right there proves to me that everything happens for a reason. She came in the room, which actually brought to the attention that there's a problem with her, and she needs to deal with it. She needs to confront herself. When a person looks at you and says, I need to follow my heart more, I need to listen to my heart more, I said, out of everything she said, that was the most truthful thing she ever said. And she needs to, and that's one thing she needs to learn to do. Because if she starts following her heart, she starts listening to what she wants to do, then she'll get the maturity. She realizes that everybody else also has their own agenda, their own motivations to use you. I mean, I tried to tell her about the pictures, taking pictures and stuff. She wants to be a renowned psychic and a teacher and all this kind of stuff. Okay, go ahead and take your nude pictures and scatter them clear across the freaking world. I guarantee you, the time you tap into renowned, you're going to have people come out of the woodwork with those pictures and saying, you know something? How sincere are you when you have such an insecurity where you feel like you had to sell your body? And I was telling her that. I said, you know, I'm trying to give you a scenario here. Okay, you're saying that you didn't do that, but you did sell those pictures. You signed the rights to those pictures. You signed them right off to your freaking photographer. Now, you can sit there and say what you want, but some people would look at that as selling yourself, because you feel so insecure that you got to go out and sell these pictures because you feel like that's the only thing that's worth anything. And I was trying to tell her, I don't see you as any less. I see that, you know, certain things you're working through and that kind of stuff. But I said, you know, you're sitting there talking about these things. But the one thing that disturbed me the most was she came up saying, she'll be famous. I want to be famous. I said, April, why don't you go out there and look at the real people who really get the recognition, who really do the work. They're not famous because he's John Holland. He's famous because of what he's accomplished. So if you want to be famous, accomplish one thing. Be the best person you can be, so when all these things do happen, if they do happen, then you'll know who you are, and you'll know that those are things that happened from the past, and you'll be able to deal with it and handle it. But if you want to keep walking down this freaking dark road saying there is no problem, then that freaking wall or door is going to hit you right in the face. I mean, she's, you know, it's like looking at the situations, you know. And I told her the other day, I said, if you keep doing what you're doing in the process of every time I want to sit down and talk to you, or like we had the discussion was, is this being rude or not? From my point of view, when I'm talking to somebody, I don't care if it's in person, on the phone, or on Skype. If they're preoccupied with four or five different objects, at the same time they're talking to me, which I consider the intimate time of spending time with my significant other, I call that rude.
Mm-hmm.
She calls it multitasking. And I said,
yeah.
I said like this, April. It's like this. I said, you're talking to a guy on Facebook. I said, you're doing your work and you're doing a website. I'm saying you cannot take 10 minutes of your time to sit down and talk with somebody. You keep saying that this is a person I'm in a relationship and this is the person I love. And you can't understand why they're getting angry because you won't take the time and push those things to the side. And you keep saying, this is important, this is important. I say, if you keep saying this, these things are more important, the person on the other side ain't going to be there no more. And for some reason, I had got this image in her head that she felt like that's not true, that you should respect me and who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish. And even with the thoughts, you still do not hear yourself in those thoughts. All it is about what she thinks is important, she thinks she's important, and the whole thing. And she doesn't, I guess maybe you're right, the idea of maturity, the lack of maturity doesn't help her understand that that person is feeling very non-existent. And in the process of, we all crave love. We all crave to be acknowledged. And humans are just naturally drawn to communion and being with people. And when they feel neglected and they feel like everything else is more important than they are, they will walk away. You know, they don't need to tell you anything. I think that's part of the realization, to come to your realization of why that person walked away. Because I've seen this before too. You tell them. Because, I mean, I've told April, I'm very verbal about what I say. I don't hide nothing back. And still that didn't phase her. And I think the only thing that ever phased her is like the first time I cut her off and said, I'm done with you. You're hurting me too much. I'm not going to allow this to happen anymore. And I'm walking away. And when you're done playing the games, you tell me what you want to do. But to sit there and say, we're in a relationship, and then when I ask you to put, you know, go ahead and put on Facebook, we're in a relationship, and you said, no, I'm not going to do that because I want to be free and do whatever I want to do, that's a contradiction to this. I'm committed to this relationship. I'm committed to you. And also, the insecurity with that statement. You know, I talked to a lot of women and said, okay, I want you to do me a favor. Stop saying independent and stop saying freedom and go out and do it because it's an action. It's not a stamp you put on your head. I'm independent. Now, if you look at this country, this is how this country became a country as great as it is because they declared their independence and then they did an action and made it happen. Okay? They felt like they were being, basically, they felt like they were being used and they didn't like it anymore, so they decided to do their own country thing. The one thing that drives me crazy with some of the women I've worked with who say independence. I'm a prisoner in a relationship. Let's get real. You were never a prisoner in a relationship. If you were, you made yourself a prisoner because you sit there and solve the situation as hopeless. Instead of looking at yourself as a person of great strength and great power, could have walked away anytime they wanted to. I worked with this one lady. She had her own car. She had her own job. And she was still living with her husband, who was actually being very abusive. And she just wouldn't go to a homeless shelter because she said that was too embarrassing. She would rather take the beating of a man physically hitting her than going to a homeless shelter and I guess taking the beating of being embarrassed. And I was like, dear, you keep saying you want to save your life, then quit feeding into the world and allowing the world to dictate your decision right now. Because the world scares you so much, you're going to stay in a situation you shouldn't be staying in. And you know it. And that's the worst part about it. of looking at, like, April and some other people I've been associated with, to look them right in the face and know from beyond a shadow of a doubt they know they have all the answers, they have all the solutions, and still not to do anything. Just as I tell April, I was like, it makes a person feel very, very helpless. What can you do when you know you can't do nothing? But just tell them, and then it's up to them. Well, we had a lady come in the room the other day. We'll sit there talking about, well, you teachers save people. I said, no, they don't. People save themselves because we give them information. And then she goes, yeah, they take the information. Do you give them the tools? And then they take the tools, and then they say, and they save themselves. But you gave them the tools. And yeah, but it's like a dollar bill. You know, it's like having $500 in your hand. If it lays on the table, I guarantee you, it will never pay the rent. You have to go over and physically pick it up and take it and pay the rent. You have to make a decision on where that money's going to go, a direction. It's the same thing when you give people information and tools to change their lives. They're still in control, and they got to make the decisions on what they're going to do with it and how they're going to utilize it and what direction they're going to go into. So, you know, being the person that has a tendency to give the messages can be really frustrating when you see people who do have the facts and who have everything compared to people who don't. To people who don't, you look at the situation and go, okay, just focus and figure out a direction to go and give them the information. And hopefully, that's the thing, hopefully it motivates them to do that. I guess I was trying to figure out, so okay, April came in the room 3 times a day. Okay.
And I was like,
no, I'm just saying, she came through 3 times. And I was like, look at him, saying, was people are listening and that kind of stuff. We look at the situation and say, okay, why did she do that? She blasted me on Facebook. And you're saying, okay, that was anger. And then we have a person who's come in the chat room who I think, in some sense, the word realized they might have just overdid something, but they're not really know how to do it. So they come in the room and they're trying to play it off nonchalant. Almost like to the point of saying, I hope you didn't see it, you know. And I'm sitting there going,
no,
okay, so.
Games.
Well, I'm just saying that the situation is like, if anybody else is out there in the same situation, because most people are sitting there going, well, you kicked her out of the room. Yeah, but see, the point was, I kicked her out 1 time before. She should have taken that as a thing of a person who doesn't want to communicate, who doesn't want the association right now. But she pushed the issue. And so therefore the actions that happened afterwards, they are justifiable. Because first of all, she's coming to my place of work. And therefore I couldn't focus. So I had to sit there and make a decision to do what I had to do. Okay, I've already sit there and told her I've already told her the whole thing. If she wants to sit there and she wants to sit down and communicate, then she needs to go through the avenues to communicate. On my phone, she is not blocked. Everything else, except for Facebook. I don't like Facebook, man. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but Facebook's getting really controlling right now. I got blocked on my friend list. I cannot send out any friend invitations right now because this was the explanation that Facebook gave me. Either a person has not gotten back with me, they look at that as somebody didn't get back with you, they don't want to associate with you, or somebody made a complaint. But see, the whole thing is so vague. I go with the first part. I think I've sent invitations out to people who just haven't got to it. So therefore, they block me. I was like, you know something? I understand. Well, yeah, well, what they're trying to do is, when they had that incident on Facebook about the bullying and stuff, what they try to do, and at that time, they wasn't doing anything. Now they're doing, it's like everything else in this country, I think, in some words. People have a tendency not to do anything, and then they have a tendency to go overboard instead of finding in the between and just admit you should have done something then, but they're not doing it. So I went on there, and I said, you know something? I don't want to deal with this person, especially after being blasted on Facebook. I wanted to block her. They said I can't block her because I blocked her once before, and it hasn't been 48 hours. So I have to wait 48 hours before I can block somebody who's actually has gone on Facebook and said something mean. Now, you see the contradiction? Facebook is trying to keep this stuff from happening. It already did. And I was trying to block the person from doing it and wasn't able to do that. So it doesn't work. So I said, And people are going to go, okay, why are you blocking her for? Because I believe it's not the idea of controlling her. I mean, I could sit here and say maybe a little bit it was. I sit and reassess the situation and said, no, I'm not. She, you know, the lessons she's going to learn have nothing to do with me, as in the situation of me saying anything about it anyway. Maybe indirectly, or maybe the actions and stuff of our interaction will be a part of her realizations and her growth process, of course. But what I'm saying is, I just sat back and looked at the situation and said, you know what, me as a person in a situation like this, in order to resolve this situation, it has to be communication. And to me, communication has to either be done in person or on the phone, not the computer. I feel like the computer right now is just a place for people to hide. All right? I don't want to talk to her on the computer. I feel like it gives her too much freedom to sit there and go, I don't want to talk to you. So I feel like the reason I blocked her on everything else was I don't want to talk to these avenues anymore, because I think in some ways they might have caused the problem. Where it was just because I've worked with people before, and that's the one thing I'll start doing with them too, is where I'll start and say, you need to walk away from the computer, you need to interact with life and people again, and you're not doing that. And they're like, well, I'm talking to somebody on Facebook. Yeah, Phil and I am. Well, their face is right there. Okay, that's nice. Well, what's the problem of actually, what's the problem of actually confronting this person face to face? Now, some people will sit there and say, well, maybe it's a long-term, long-distance relationship. I would say, for this argument, we're going to say, no, it's not. Because I've actually worked with people. I don't know if you've ever done this before, too. But I actually had a couple that had been talking to each other through the computer for 8 months. All right? And you're thinking, well, you need time to get to know each other. You know something? You're never going to get to know each other until you touch that person's skin and touch that person as in a personal encounter, okay? What made me so freaked out about it was they've been doing this for 8 months, and they live 20 minutes away from each other.
No, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous, you know, because it's the idea. See, what really gives relationships great foundation and strength and stability is communication and vulnerability. Now, if you're starting to communicate to a computer, I guarantee you're not being vulnerable. I don't care if you're cybering. You're still doing it safely because there's don't take this the wrong way, but there's no bodily functions and fluids being exchanged. There's no interaction. See, the one thing I tell people all the time, what's so important about sex realistically is the ideal that in the process of making love, two people become one energy-wise. It happens all the time. You ever heard the thing about men who have a tendency to go and leave after they have sex? Now, we do have two scenarios. We have one guy who just wants to nail everything before he dies. But we also have the other guys who think that they can do the same thing as the first guy. They don't realize the emotions that are being transferred and the energy. So, therefore, you do become one at some time in that encounter. On a computer, I mean, even on the phone, I don't think you can actually accomplish that the right way. And I don't think it should be done that way anyway. I think if you're in a situation where your significance is across the country or other things, then Skype, the computer, the phones, you know, texting, that kind of stuff, they come in handy. But these are only good after you've already established a relationship. And they should never be used as communication because you don't want to deal with your significant other or deal what happened between the two of you. So I think, I'm just saying out of respect for myself, I want to talk. And I want to work things out if it happens at that point, but it has to be, I have to hear a voice. And if it has to be on the phone, and realistically, I'd love it for her to come back here. I feel like if she came back here and knocked on that freaking door and said, I want to have a relationship, I would take her more seriously. Because to go through that, to take those actions, would tell me by her actions, not what she's saying, but by her actions, she's serious. And people might think it's crazy how she can do that. Well, I believe that in relationships, not the twin flame and the soulmate thing, it's supposed to happen. I believe those things are going to happen. My thing is, in the process of miracles, and those things are supposed to happen, I look for signs. And it's not the idea of big old signs that says relationship, Josie and Bowie, and you guys are both named out, have those names. Not that kind of sign. My sign is the idea that in the process of a person making the decision to be with somebody again, that everything else, the universe itself, would line up. So therefore, that would happen just by making that decision. And if everybody else there out there would actually look at those things, I think instead of saying, I can't be with this person because I don't have the money, why don't you just ask the universe, if I'm supposed to be with this person, then the avenues and the opportunities will open up to me. Because, you know, April came out the first time, and it was amazing when she came out the first time because it was trying to show people signs. And I think it was a prime example, not just for us, but everybody else who hears the story. Here's a person that decided to come out here. She found a ticket for $95 one way. Not just that she found a ticket one way, because she said when she tallied it all up and she paid for it, they charged her $118. And she's like, well, I wanted to get that ticket under $100. The next day, they refunded her money, so it went right back down to $95, and it was under $100. So everything she asked for, she got, okay? And when she got a ride from the airport, it was a crazy ride, but she only paid $60 for it to get here. Now, when she went home, she paid $488 for a plane ticket. She paid $124 for a taxi to get to the freaking airport. Now, does anybody else see the sign of a situation that shouldn't have happened, but she still pushed the issue anyway, which is kind of contradicting for a Capricorn to do in the first place? Capricorn's like, you know, I mean, look at the situation. She wanted to find a ticket under $100. Why did she leave so abruptly if it wasn't running away from something? So I looked at her and I said, you know, it's amazing. If you don't go, you don't spend a dime, you know? It's the ideal of looking at the situation, not just that. I mean, we look at people as like, if you're in the same category, guys, this woman just didn't run away from that. She did 3 card readings. She talked to her guides. She talked to the angels, you know, and did all those things that she was supposed to. And what's so funny about the whole thing is she got the same answer. Don't go. So it's like people are going, okay, should we go to her and get readings if she's not trusting her own readings and trusting her own guides to tell her, to give her the information she needs to do? How can we trust her? You know, that's what I'm saying, the situation, you know, looking at people going, your actions will speak louder than words to the point of your success. And so it was amazing. It's really amazing to watch. That's what we'll say before, to see someone to have such a, and you know, this, but we'll put it to you like this, because most people are going, you're telling me that since she made a decision, she won't have a future? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the path that was chosen for her was a whole lot smoother than what she chose for herself. And the process that she thinks this is the best action, this is the best course of action, instead of actually listening to her heart, it said, we can help you out here and make this a smooth transition, because we have such a great future for you when you go down this chain. Sure, there'll be some bumpy roads, but those are just learning experiences. But in the process of making a good decision and following your heart, they won't be so freaking rough, and they'll have so many solutions to get around and over, that every time you do have any kind of situation, the answers will be so clear to you, because you're listening. You're already listening already intensely, because that's what put you on the path in the first place. And then we choose another path and go, no, we're going down this way. And this is funny, because I was there telling people about this, and they're like, you sure about this? I said, go talk to freaking Jill, what was her name? Oh, shoot. She was, she's a pastor. She's always on television all the time. Blonde lady. Short hair. What's her name? Joyce Myers. And Joyce Myers said that in the process of making the decision before she started her huge church and her ministry, God came to her and said, it's time to go. It's time to start your ministry. Well, she said, no, I am not ready for this. I don't think I can do this. So she decided to stay in St. Louis for another year. In the process of denying her path, denying her destiny, because realistically, if you walk away from a smooth path and a great life, more likely that was your life purpose, because your life purpose will provide everything for you. Okay? So in this situation with Joyce Myers, a prime example, she was supposed, this is her destiny. So she refused to embrace her destiny at that moment. And that whole year of staying in St. Louis was terrible. All these bad things happened and this and the other. And she, Joyce Meyer stood down one day and said, okay, God, have you forsaken me? He says, no. And she goes, why is this all happening to me? He said, I told you to leave a year ago. If you would have left a year ago and started your ministry, all this stuff would have never happened. It's our choice. But I'm saying, from our point of view, too, of being light workers, when we see people make these bad choices, you know, maybe we shouldn't be so personal with the situation, but it can be frustrating to watch someone walk down the wrong path, knowing that less than 10 feet she's going to hit a brick wall. What do? Well, we really can't do anything. But we have friends like you, Dee, we can actually, you know, vent. And plus, no one's ever called. No one's coming in the queue. And realistically, I think Sundays are like that, aren't they? Kind of slow. Dee? Hello, Dee? Dee? Are you there, Dee? Hello? Dee? Hey, what's up? Gotcha. Ooh. All right. I'm waiting for the spinning action. Oh, my gosh. Hello?
Hello?
Area code 910. How are you today?
Hi there. I'm fine. How about you?
Well, if you've been listening to the show, I'm pretty pissed off. But
I sound irritated, and that's one reason why I called in.
It was irritation, but it was like, see, I was talking to Dee, and Dee says, you know, we should let it go. Now, the reason I was doing it for this show is that I feel like there's somebody else out there, maybe a couple people, maybe a lot of people, that are actually going through the same thing, and these situations can be confusing because you're like, okay, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. How come I'm not getting the love, the attention, and appreciation for what I've done? And I, you know, I think it's important for people to understand it's okay to feel that way because you have given. Now, most people say, well, we shouldn't be in that position. You know, giving is better than receiving. And it's another lesson that people need to learn that is not true.
Well, that's true, because we definitely deserve to receive just as much as we give. That's what it's all about.
And that's where balance comes in at, because if you have an imbalance between your receiving and your giving, you also cut off your prosperity. There has
right.
to be balance.
Keep
and
it
that's
balanced.
Just a part of it. Yes, exactly. What's your name? Huh? I'm sorry, sweetie, but what's your name?
I'm Lori, my dear.
Lori, okay. So I'm just saying, well, I was caught in this compassion and stuff, and so I have a tendency to forget to ask people their names. So.
Okay, but I figured, that's all right. It's been a while since we talked, so. But,
no, I was just trying to help other people understand the situation that, you know, not just with this one, but relationships are relationships, loving relationships, like, you know, even with friends, family, and we have a tendency to ask the question, why can't they see me? And I think it's simple that because I had to come up with the same realization where I had to stop and cut off all ties and then start focusing on me and say, okay, maybe the reason I'm sitting here going, how come she can't see me? Because if I look at the reflection, I'm not seeing me either. So I need to take a look at me. So it's kind of a crazy thing. So go ahead, Lori. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. And the only thing I was going to say is I know this so well, so I can just speak it from my heart, but we get frustrated at times when people don't do things like we think they ought to, because we
right.
know we've been there. We've been there, done that, hate to see someone else go through it. However,
mm-hmm.
if that person's not at a point in their life to learn the lesson and they keep repeating it over and over, it's by their own choices and we can't change that.
Oh yeah, I understand. I agree with you. I'm just saying we can't do anything. But
no, that's why you don't let the frustration get so wrapped up in the frustration, because they won't listen to you.
And I'm talking to Dee venting and she's not even there. How about like this
I'm just
today,
trying to add, I'm just trying to add to what you were saying, okay?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You said you have a feeling other people. Well, some people are so hard-headed that, well, trust me, I've been there, where you get frustrated because you know in your gut, you know in your heart what is right, the best thing for them, like pertaining to my son. And you just keep trying and trying and trying to get them to listen, but they're too hard-headed. They're not at a point in their life to listen. They have to go through the lessons to actually finally get it. Then later they'll come back to you, probably most likely, and say, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, I should have listened to you. I would have been some, you know, but we go through what we go through in life for a reason, to become the people we're supposed to be. And if you don't want to learn the lesson the first time, it takes you 5-6 times, then I guess that's your choice.
That's what I was trying to say.
And unfortunate.
Right. No, I was just saying with this situation here, it was like looking at everybody going, okay, you might have a period where you vent. It's okay. It's
a
frustration.
My dear, we all vent because you can't just keep it in your head. So it's always good to have a good friend to be able to vent to and let it go, because a lot of times it just, it's like it eats at you until you open your mouth, you say it, then it's gone, and then you feel better. You can let go of that energy. That's the way I am anyway. So it's definitely
vent. And I was sitting there going, okay, I said, I'm not trying to be mean to no one. I'm just trying to be respectful to myself and say, you know something, okay, she's going through stuff, she's doing this, but that doesn't mean I have to sit there and deal with this, all this other stuff going on. That's her life, that's her life lesson. And I think my life lesson was the idea of saying, you know something, what do you want? I said, okay, if she wants to talk to me, then she needs to talk to me to a phone, because realistically the problem was it was disrespect. And what was the disrespect for me was the computer and the stuff that goes along with it. So I was like, it's almost like the angels are saying, okay, to have your way of communication, what is that? I said, it's a phone. And yesterday she went on Facebook and blasted me. And I said, okay, I don't want nothing to do with it. It was.
You got to remember her age, though, too. You got to understand her age.
You can understand the age.
No.
I was there too. I was married and 3 kids. We all was.
Well, you know what? What I'm trying to get at, though, Don, is...
I'm just saying maturity. Maturity is the key word here. Maturity. Not her age. Her maturity.
No. Seriously. Because I got involved, the guy I got involved with, he was 27 years old. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He seemed to be a lot wiser than his actions, I'm telling you, because he was immature in a lot of ways. And I'm telling you, it's that age group. They're still trying to figure a lot of their, trying to learn a lot of their lessons and figuring their life out. Every once in a while, I'm not saying they're all that way. There is some, just like my son is 19 and he acts like a 25-year-old. It's all on the mentality and the maturity, and I guess a lot to do with that soul that they brought forth with them. You know, but there's just some people, mentality-wise, they're just not there yet. And when I heard you talking, I'm like, that's what it reminds me of. She's so wrapped up in the me, independent, whatever, do whatever. And that's where he was at. It's something in that age group that gets that way. It's all about what they want.
Well,
and figure out
it can be all understandable. I mean, I've sat here and talked to her family, and her family treats her like a 16-year-old. So, and they keep saying
they
she's not mature.
Let her grow up, then.
They won't. No, they won't. They told me when she came back from when she flew back to Raleigh, the first thing her mom said was basically trying to imply that you're a bad person because you left your family. And I looked at her in the face and I'm like, you know something? It's amazing how your family, it's okay for them to go live their lives, but not you. And that was always, we were talking about that earlier about Baptists, but it was just the situations we've come from. Like I come from a Baptist church and deal with some of the Baptist thing, where they have this thing where they constantly tell you how much faith they have, but they worry about everything. And I said, that's just a big con, to me, that's just one of the biggest, it's contradiction. No, it's a
contradiction to what their belief is, what they speak.
I know, but they also sit there, and it's amazing, because they sit there and go, how come people don't take me seriously? Well, first you're saying you have great faith, and then you worry about everything else, and then you look at me and say, worry is a lack of faith. You even tell us that worry is a lack of faith, and here you are still embracing it like it's you know, tomorrow's brand new car. Ooh, I love this. And I was like, and I'm looking at the person going, that's why I really don't have a lot of confidence in what you're saying, because you're not living it. You're not sitting there talking. Because I had April on the show yesterday, and I was interviewing her. Just like I would interview anybody else, I asked her flat out, you know, what is your motivation here? I mean, do you actually learn from your readings that you do for other people? And she said, no. And I was like, okay. I didn't say she's wrong or she's right. I just said, well, I know for a fact that when I do readings for people, especially like if I'm going through something like this, every reading I did that day in some way reflected what they were going through, that also gave me insights to my own situation. So when I sit here and say everyone will be blessed in my readings, that means everybody, you, me, whoever's involved with the whole situation. It's a learning experience. And I was like, wow, here's a person that's just shutting off any kind of learning, any kind of lessons or anything in favor of being famous. And I'm just like, yes. I was sitting here talking to her on Skype. Again, she was ignoring me and saying, I'm busy, I'm working. So I wrote to her and I said, I don't think you want this anymore, so I'm bowing out. Have a great life. And that's why I was kind of freaked out when she went on Facebook and said this mean thing. Because I said, I understand it was anger and it was childish, but I said, I was kind of baffled and said, okay, I don't understand what spawned that, because I never blamed her for nothing. I just said, you know, go live your life, I'll go live my life and have a good one. So then all of a sudden I've got this, well, I guess we could put it back in the ideal relationship counseling of a person who won't do the proper things to have a relationship, but is not willing to take the maturity and take that commitment. So we already had this once before where I said, I'm not going to deal with it anymore. I said, every time you go through one of these things, I call you up, you will sit here and take my calls, but then you'll do everything in the freaking world and ignore me and think that's okay. I said, until you sit there and quit playing games and, you know, start looking at yourself, and when you say you're going to do things, when you say, I'm going to follow my heart, I think I should follow my heart. I said, well, why did you come up with that? You know, something's telling you. I thought it was crazy. Someone actually sits down and works with a guide and card readings, the whole bit, and refused to listen to any of them. I made a bad, made a decision and did what she did. So I was just sitting there going, okay, fine. I walked away. Well, less than 4 hours, she's texting me and saying, I'm sorry. And that's one thing I should have done. She never said she was sorry. She just said, I miss you and I want a relationship with you. I said, well, before you, I said something about a relationship. You said you want your freedom and you want all this stuff. And I said, and something told me, said, you should not do anything right now. You should just think about it and let her think, and don't just jump into it because she said what you wanted to hear. And I said, you know, something is great. And I fell into it anyway. I was kind of mad at myself. I just want to smack myself and say, no, but your guidance said, wait 2 or 3 days, let her think about it, let her get her head straight, and then make a decision then. And I didn't do it. So I decided in this situation, I'm going to stand up on my feet and say, okay, what do I want to do? I said, I can't deal with a relationship no more where I feel that my stomach is tied in knots and my freaking body just aches. Just the idea of thinking, what kind of conversation am I going to have today? Am I going to have to deal with a freaking computer? Am I going to have to deal with Facebook? Am I going to have to deal with a person with a rude attitude? And I said, you know something? The only reason I am is because I choose to. I don't want to do that anymore. So I turned the whole freaking thing. I just blocked on everything. And it was like protection.
Good.
I knew.
You needed to.
I hate Facebook because I want to block her on Facebook because I knew. I just had a funny feeling something was going to happen, right? And still she was allowed to have access to my Facebook because when I blocked her 2 days, well, actually, it has been 2 days. They said that you can't block anybody. You have to wait 48 hours. I'm sitting there going, are you serious?
Well, they did. Did you just unblock her and then block her? Was she blocked
Yeah, I blocked her and I unblocked her.
And then they make you wait 48 hours before you can do it again.
I was sitting there saying that, well, usually when situations like this happen of some kind of anger or some kind of violence, usually happens in that 48 hours. Anyway.
Right. But I guess that's what you get for being nosy and unblocking her. Trying to be nice or whatever.
I was nosy on what was being posted,
and then it bit me in the butt because I couldn't go back and re-block until after 48 hours. That's how I know that on a personal.
Yes, you can turn and look at the situation. To everybody who's listening, the moral of the story is what you should do is what you want to do. If you feel like you're being abused, stop taking the abuse and walk away.
Yeah.
If you feel like you're being disrespected in all kinds of sense of the words and it's not happening right, you know, sometimes we get mad and go, well, I've been praying to the angels and all kinds of affirmations. Why is it still happening? Because the person still has free will. And they're going to do what they want to do. So therefore, you need to do what you got to do. So walk away.
Oh, hey, the show's almost over. Do you want to change the energy a little bit?
I'm trying.
Close it out on a good note? You feel better?
No. Oh, yeah, it's one of those things of looking at the situation and going, okay, great. Now, working on a random is kind of wild, because when we first broke up, everybody was like, why? You and April are like so great together. April works on a random too. And so they all went to April's room and said, what are you doing? You know, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know if that's the right approach. But everybody was just so defensive and went right to her and said, hey, you know, this is what he's doing. This is what he does. And you know, if he's giving you advice on how to be better, that kind of stuff, and you're taking, and you're thinking he's controlling, then maybe you should think about that. You're not, he's not being controlling. And we had this conversation yesterday on the show where I was sitting there saying, you know, a girl comes to you or a guy and says, hey, you know something? I want to be better at what I'm doing because I want to be like you. You're really fantastic. You're great. Could you help me and motivate me? And then a week later, turn around and say, you're trying to change me. And then treat them like they did something wrong when you gave them permission to do it.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
To change the subject. But you got a picture of a deck on the images?
Right.
The run through, what deck is that?
Oh, you lost me. Okay, so ask the question again.
The cards that you show, your deck, that
uh-huh.
you have a spread laying out, one of the pictures that plays through on Blog Talk. What deck is that? Well, actually, it's two decks,
yeah.
It looks like. You have two
okay.
different decks, they're the same.
Actually, I have three decks. I have three decks of cards. They're actually two decks put together. I have the Life Purpose deck and the Romance Angels cards put together as one deck. Life Purpose, Life Partner. And then I have Archangel and the Angel, the Healing with the Angels card and the Archangel. I put those together. And then I took Archangel Michael and Archangel Raphael decks and put them together for one deck. Now, you might be thinking about this. If you look at the cards, if the cards say anything about the Four of Air, the four of Earth.
Right.
Those are my angel tarot cards.
Who made those? They're beautiful.
That's Dorian Virtue did these too. I was waiting for her to do it.
I'm ordering those cards. So okay. So
I thought that was the most thing.
Pull me some cards out of one of the new decks that I've never used before. I'd be interested to see what comes up.
You know, I've been doing readings with this angel. I want to call it Archangel tarot cards because realistically, it's actually the angel tarot card. They call it an angel tarot card deck, but the higher arcana cards all have an archangel to them, and then those smaller cards are your angels. So it's like a combo.
She has a YouTube video advertising those cards. So.
Oh yeah, I had these pre-ordered before they even came out.
Curious because I've never used them before.
Okay. So, you know, so what I'm saying is before these cards even came out on the market, I already pre-ordered them.
Yeah, I heard you. You were on top of it.
That's right. Because I was telling everybody, I said, you know about manifestations, right, guys? And I was sitting there going, I was focusing and said, you know, I'm not going to get any more tarot cards until someone comes out with a angel tarot card deck. And about a month later, Dorian Virtue said he came out with an angel tarot card deck. I'm like, okay. And I'm pretty sure there's some out there, but they never crossed my path.
Right.
So they wasn't meant for me. So all of a sudden these came out of nowhere, and it's a lady I've actually gotten cards from before. So I think I got four decks now that I feel like I don't have to get any more. Now I do want to get there's two other decks I want to get there. Healing with the Fairies and Messages from the Fairies. So...
That's cool.
But I really don't have this urgency to get them, so doesn't mean I won't. But everything happens for a reason.
Yep, it's not time yet.
I've had everybody talk about these cards too. April was here. That's why I was baffled by April, because she said, these cards are so wild and so accurate and so detailed. Let me take these and see if I can get a message from these. And then she did, and she was like, okay, it didn't tell you what you wanted. It didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. Well, no, it didn't tell you what. It didn't tell you what you wanted to hear. It told you what you needed to hear. But then again, you know, you wish those messages would come from somebody totally different, like a stranger. But she was right. I was sitting there doing these cards, and my accuracy from working on a random and stuff, working, getting better and better and better. But then I put these cards in the situation. I was like, wow. Because I would sit there and read the cards, I read the bottom of the cards, and people go, that's exactly what's going on. And I was watching a rant, I saw this lady, she was looking at the angel cards, and she's reading the bottom of them, all right? And but that's all she did. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dear, but there's more to that card. And you just read what you just read the definition at the bottom.
Right.
But the card is telling you so much more. You know, read over the line, between the lines, and under the lines. I mean, it's just, because I was, April was asking me, she said, what do you mean? I said, what's this? You pull one card out. It says, open your heart and mind to those around you. Trustworthy and heartfelt advice. Charity. Charity work. Now, some people look at this and go, okay, I got the first part. What's a charity work thing? And sometimes in relationships and of giving to somebody else who doesn't have just exactly what you want to give back at that time could be considered charity work. And it's the idea of looking at those situations and the depth part to understand that this is a king of water. It's a king of cups. It's a relationship card. Okay? It's also a water sign that I feel like this male is, and also the situation of the clarity, okay? So the charity work was the ideal of giving of oneself. It doesn't mean going down to the local church. It means anybody who crosses your path, charity work's at hand here to take care of the whole thing. And open your heart and mind to those around you. See, that could be simply looking at somebody and saying, okay, I think in some sense of the word, you're doing that. But it's also more focused on the heart and mind and those around you, because when you do that, when you open yourself up to people around you and the heart and the mind, you see things about yourself, and the reflections are a whole lot easier to interpret. Because sometimes people have a tendency to go too much of themselves. It's getting really windy here. Yeah, guys, and we've also talked about the Colorado fires, and don't listen to the media, okay? They're showing pictures and stuff, but their pictures are showing you like miles away. So you're thinking, whoa, I'm actually a mile away from the freaking fire.
That's good.
And it's been there. It has been there the whole time. They've kept it at bay. Sure, there's people up there and that kind of stuff have probably lost their houses and stuff. I don't know.
So they're making
really
it bigger than what it actually is.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure.
Oh, yeah, we had the media down here, and April was like, what's the media doing down here? Because we didn't see the fire at that time. And we've seen the smoke and stuff coming over the hill, and they did take Manitou Springs and evacuate it, but they didn't. I don't think they told everybody they evacuated until 8 o'clock, and they all evacuated. And what the problem was, it wasn't the fire itself, it was the smoke. And then what was so funny about it, when they evacuated, and they were stressing all this drama, there was smoke coming through here on our, where we're at, which is really, really far from it, and the smoke was coming through. I just felt like someone was having a bad barbecue, and it was like just bad smoke everywhere and that kind of thing like that. And no one said anything about evacuation then. So it was like an off and on thing. You know, it was almost like when people started prompting it, or if people started complaining about it too much, then they evacuated. If they didn't complain, then they didn't evacuate. And then we had homeless people were playing it up too, going, I just got kicked out of Manitou Springs. Could you give me some money? I'm like, wow, man, opportunists everywhere. So, it was interesting. But
well,
I want
to safe. I have we have family. It's in Colorado Springs, so that's good to hear.
Yeah, and what's so funny about it is, realistic, the fires are in, actually the fires and stuff like that are in Garden of the Gods, Manitou Springs, and Pike Station.
Aw, really? At Garden of the Gods, that's too bad.
I took April to the Garden of the Gods, and she was like, whoa. And we walked. We walked over there, and she goes, where's it at? I said, you're in it. You know, look at the situation, the rocks, the stones, the foundations. Now, the one thing she didn't get to see was the golf ball. And if everybody's like, what's a golf ball? It's a humongous boulder sitting on 2 inches of stone.
Yep.
And it's been sitting there for, what, 100,000 years?
Yep.
And it hasn't fallen.
Kids underneath it acting like they're holding it up.
Oh, yeah. I actually got a couple of shots where the guy had got it right where it looks like it's sitting on his shoulders.
That's awesome, because I had where the family was sitting in front of it, and my youngest son was acting as though he was holding it up. It was really funny.
Oh, yeah.
The rock.
See, I was actually trying to get some people to go to my website, too. I changed everything on my Facebook and everything like that. I'm not Facebook. Actually, I was saying my can't.
Oh,
I was saying, I'll think about my website.
Your website.
I changed everything on my website, background and stuff like that. More of a grounding. It's brown and red. And It's more like earth colors and stuff like that, which is more of a grounding with harvest.
I'm looking at it. Oh, what just came up? Why did it go to yours and then... Oh, no, it stayed this time.
Everybody was like, so what happened to April's picture? What happened to April? Okay, everything follows.
Nice.
That was a long time. That was a long drawn-out process, too. It's like, oh, freaking pictures off of Facebook.
Nice picture of the water, though. I like the cover picture.
What's that? Yeah, I like the rocks and the water and stuff. It was calming and it was serene. And, you know, I was trying to, I can't actually go on there. I can put some personal pictures on there, too, up in that situation, but I didn't want to make it too much, you know.
Right.
It's like, okay, I got to shuffle these things one more time. And plus, we've had some rain out here, too, so...
Oh, it's a massive freaking unloaded on us, hail and everything.
And plus, what was it? We had the rain. Plus, they were also saying that somebody was actually setting the fires, too.
I already knew that.
And I was sitting listening to things.
I'm an idiot.
Okay. So they had two fires started at one time.
Wow. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, look at you. All your cards are purple and blue.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I'm going to pull five. So I have two, the first two cards that came out of the higher arcana, ego and the sun. And then the last three were the queen of air. And ego. I'm trying to put that in a different way of looking at the situation. The ego is a higher arcana card. But I don't really have the equivalence to it. I mean, I wasn't going to find out the definition or what it was representing to, what that would be in the Harya or Arcana cards. I have a real tarot deck, but my angel said don't do it. And it's done this way for a reason. It shows the ideal. The ego card was talking about Archangel Jophiel. And Jophiel, I'm trying to find my freaking book.
I'm writing it down so I know what you got because I'm curious. Sorry about that.
Archangel Jophiel. Archangel Jophiel's name means the beauty of God. This archangel is known as the patron of artists to see the beauty. She's also a she. She was present in the Garden of Eden, and later she watched over Noah's son. The archangel of art and beauty, Jophiel, helps metaphysically and physically. First, Jophiel helps us think beautiful thoughts to see and appreciate beautiful around us. Beauty around us. Beauty and beautiful. The beauty around us, I'm thinking I lost the term, and to therefore create, manifest, and attract more beauty into our lives. After all, beauty, beautiful thoughts, and beautiful outcomes. Am I reading too what?
No, I got the same thing. It's just I'm reading a different description for Jophiel is pretty much close to that, so helps us to nurture our dreams.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it says in the physical world, Jophiel helps with artistic projects,
yep.
Illuminates our creative spark. She gives us ideals and the energy to carry out artistic ventures. Jophiel also helps us create beautiful beauty at home, at work, and our relationships. She helps us to slow down and smell the roses. Because we were sitting here talking the other day, and it kind of dawned on me when I actually pulled the angel up, which is Archangel Michael, and it says, it says Archangel Michael is there to help. His name means, basically like the face of God.
Right.
And I said, and I was sitting there going, think about it, guys. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? Because in the process of Archangel Michael helping you to cut the cords, to let go of the past, you're able to see yourself. And it's all been said, when you look at yourself, you should also see God in you, which also helps you see God in everyone else too as well. So you see God everywhere. So the ideal of Michael being the face of God just helps you to face who you are. I was like, wow, okay. Well, that wasn't written down. That was just spontaneous.
Right, right. Okay, what was the second card again?
the sun card. This is Archangel Uriel. Now, these cards at the bottom say, the one says, a false sense of entrapment, being overly focused on materialistic things, and negative or fear-based thoughts. Now, some people look at the situation, go, gang, bath, we're not like that. Then what it says with the cards are like outcomes, telling us things that we could actually, in the process of things we're going to be subjected to, we could come up with these conclusions of false sense of entrapment, because that's the important thing, a false sense of entrapment.
Like I know I am right now. That kind of goes with this emotion, this thing I've been fighting off for past few days.
And then we look at the sun card. The sun card is great. I love the name itself. You know, basically the sun actually shines the light on anything else.
Seems a lot better than it seems, basically.
Yes, and then at the bottom of the sun card, it says happy outcome. Brilliant new ideals that lead to success. Have confidence in yourself. And when you look at those things, realistically, what are those? Those are confirmation.
Yep, exactly.
The next card is the Queen of Air, which is actually the Queen of, I think that's the Queen of, that's the Queen of Air, it's the Queen of Swords. It's like most people get a little big-headed with this card because it says independent, experienced, realistic, and witty. Well, you have two cards. You're Gemini, right?
Yes.
That's kind of funny because I have two cards here that are the Queen of Air and the Queen of Fire. One's the Queen of Swords and one's the Queen of Wands.
Oh, wow.
So, that's what I'm saying. I love these cards because they reflect the personality of the person. Now, you look at the situation, so, okay, she's not an air sign. She's not a fire sign either. Well, they're not reflecting those things in the cards. The cards are reflecting her two personalities with the ideal of coming together in balance. Because it says objective decision-making, clearing away all that no longer serves you, seeing the humor in the situation. And then the other one, the Queen of Fire, says stretch your wings and fly. Don't underestimate yourself. Assert your independence and creativity. See, I like this card because it says assert. Your independence and creativity. It didn't say be independent. It didn't say be creative. It said exert these things. These are adjectives. They're action. Or they're adverbs. I don't know. I just know these words are action. So therefore, the action is more important than the word itself. And then I have the Four of Air, the Four of Swords, where it shows a time for rest and take a vacation. Allow more time before making decisions. Meditation will provide the answers. So therefore, it gives you serenity and that kind of stuff, like in a week. Take a break.
It's like a waiting period for me right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, the waiting period is the thing was talking about the ideal of a sense of focus on a false sense of entrapment. Could be from, I've seen people do this before. I'm not saying you're doing this. I'm just saying, when it comes to relationships in certain situations, we think we have to stick around till they unfold. Not realizing we can still enjoy life and go, like, you know. I saw one person stay at home all the time. And I was just like, go to the lake, man. Go have some fun. Go to the lake. You know, go to the places you want to. I mean, like that one day I was sitting there to everybody. I was like, this is the idea of manifestation and how you can hold yourself back. I'm sitting there focusing on, I'm staying in a hotel before I got my apartment. I'm staying in this hotel. And I was right on the day, man, Wednesday. I had been working my butt off in all these companies. There just wasn't any money coming in on Wednesday, which is the day I needed the money for my hotel room to pay for another week until I could get this apartment. So I'm sitting there, and I was worried, and my friend called, and she said, I can pick up on your guys, and your guy said, you haven't completely let go yet. And I said, yeah, I have. I said, I need $125, and I need it now, and so I'm open to receive, and they go, but you're focusing on the 125. They want you to go live life. Forget all about it. Don't think about it. You've already given. Yeah. You already declared it to the universe. You know what I did? I said, okay, fine. I'll do that. I'm just going to let it go and forget about the whole thing. I got on the bus and went to the gym. On the way to the gym, some realization came to me to a guy who sponsors my show to call and ask him because I got the prompt the night before, which I ignored. And he was on my show that night, and I didn't do it then. The next day, it prompted me again as I'm going. And as soon as I got on that bus to go to the gym, it came to me again. I said, you know something? the worst thing he could say is no. I mean, he can't really beat me up on the phone or throw something at me, right? So I said, okay, I'll call him up. So I called the guy up. I said, Richard, I know this might sound crazy, and I know it's kind of embarrassing on this side of the whole thing, but I said, nothing's coming in today. I said, if there's any chance you could, like, give me $125 to pay this room so I can, you know, get past this week and get going and stuff. And so I'm asking you if you could give me the $125. He said, okay, done. I said, excuse me? What? He said, yeah, no problem. I said, oh, my gosh, that was so freaking, I could have done this the night before. I wouldn't even be here worrying. Right? So I said, okay. And right when I was talking to the guy, right, we go through the zone. My phone got cut off. And so he called. He said, and the last thing he said to me was, as soon as you get to a computer, it'll be done deal, right? And I was going to say something to him, and he said something about, I need to talk to you about something. And that's the last thing I heard. So about 25 minutes later, when I got to a place with a clear signal, he calls me back. And he said, and it was funny too, because in the process of him calling me back, I sat there and said, I should have asked him for $150. I don't know why. For some reason, I feel like I should have asked him for $150. I said, too bad I couldn't ask him, you know, because that was so easy. I should have asked him for $150. You know, it's kind of funny. The guy calls me back, and he says, I sent your money to you, but I didn't send you $125. I sent you $150. I was like, the universe is listening big time today.
I need to start doing that because I have brakes. My brake line needs to be fixed. Well, it's all rusted underneath my truck, right? So one brake, you can't just fix one. Because when you try to fix that one, what's going to happen to the others?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to come, I got an estimate. It'll be like $500 to fix it.
Whoa.
Kind of stuck, so I can't go to the beach. I can't go do fun stuff because I'm kind of. I mean, I already go to the gym. I mean, I do that twice a week.
Really?
So
I was thinking the universe. I need some breaks so I can actually go out and take my. Decided to take a vacation.
I have a certain somebody that was going to come up and fix it, but he's not able to leave right now. So I don't know if I still wait for him to do it. Or
what you do is you got two choices to manifest here. You can manifest the money, or you can manifest the opportunity for him to come do it.
Well, he has to get certain things freed up around him before he can do that. And I've been asking
too,
that.
Divine intervention doesn't have any restrictions. It can sit there and talk to the captain or anything else and change things around. I mean, I sit there and told this one guy, he goes, you know, this guy over here gave me permission to do this whole thing. And he told me 2 weeks ago he would never, ever let me do this. And here I am fishing in this hole. I'm sitting there going, what'd you do? Yeah.
You just basically put an affirmation together for that, right?
Exactly. Because when I got this apartment, we had a lawyer come on the show one night, and he said, here in the real world, buddy, we all got to get jobs. And I said, manifestation. He goes, what do you mean manifestation? I said, how'd you get that job? And he goes, you manifested it. Okay, so let's take it one step further, change your perception of what you can do, and realize there are no restrictions. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. He said, what is it, some kind of theory? I said, no, buddy. Everything I tell you on this freaking show, I've experienced. I said, right now, I manifested this apartment. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, what happened was, I was going to get this up here. I was going to get this efficiency up here by cleaning it, doing something physical, and I felt like I had to do it. I get into the situation. I made an arrangement with this guy. It was supposed to be $450 for the rent and $200 for a deposit. I went to go look at this place to clean it. I called him back. I said, I will give you $250, and that's it. You will have to take the rest of it off because this place is terrible. There was nicotine on the walls about 2 inches thick. So I'm sitting there going through this whole thing, right? I saw that this apartment I'm in now, right now, I saw that no one had rented this one out yet. So I was just saying one day, I said, maybe I should focus on the one bedroom because that would actually be better for me than this efficiency. So I went back and cleaned the efficiency. You know, I was living up to my obligations. I go back to my hotel room, and the guy who runs this place, Joe, called me up, and he's like, you know something? I don't feel comfortable letting you have the apartment. I was like, okay. I didn't say anything. I wasn't going to put anything into him, but let him speak his mind. He did, and he said, I don't feel comfortable putting you in there because there's just too much damage. Now I went in there and checked it. The guy said we're going to have to replace the floors and the bathroom. They said they just damaged everything. He said, I cannot, in my right conscious, you know, to let you go in there. I said, okay. He said, but I have a solution. I was like, I'm waiting. So my mother mind was kicking in. He said, there's people put an application on that apartment down there, but they never came back. So why don't you just take your stuff, move it in there, And then he said, I'm going to do something up here. He said, you can, and then we're going to get to a point where you can come up here and finish cleaning this for the rest of the deposit. But he said, so when you come down here, he said, we're going to work out an arrangement. And he said, well, I think it's going to work good because that apartment goes for $525. It's a $450 deposit. So what I'll do is I'll just let you move in there, and you come down there, and I'll charge you $675. That's it, to move in. And so he comes in here, and we're signing up the lease. And that's what I was trying to tell this guy. I said, I just didn't manifest the opportunity, everything else along with it, to go in my favor. And I said, I'll tell you why. I said, I'm sitting there, and the guy comes over with the lease. He puts the lease down there, and he said, I get paid on the 8th and the 25th, which everybody wants to get paid on the 1st. So we put it down, and I said, and the guy says, so you get paid on the 1st? I said, no, I don't get paid on the 1st. I get paid on the 8th and the 25th. He goes, okay, no problem. We'll just change this to the 8th. And that guy goes, he really did that for you? I said, yeah. See, that's the point. I just didn't manifest this opportunity. It was kind of funny. It was nonchalant. Maybe I should be focusing on the one bedroom. And then I let it go. I think that's the key to manifestation, is just detachment and say, okay, you put it out there and it happened. And those are the ones that happen so quick for me. Because if you should look at the situation, it happened in less than 24 hours. The next thing I know, I'm sitting in this apartment, which is great, fantastic. I have a bedroom. I have separation. I got everything I need, privacy, and freedom. And I stayed in this hotel over here for almost a month and a half. And it seemed like every freaking week, the money always came up to stay there until I could get this. And then this came up, and I was like, you know, and it was just something I actually wanted to stay here. Yeah.
That's because you're doing what you're
doing. What's that?
That's because you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
That's the thing, too, people talk about, too, because I was sitting when I was in my shop the first time. I told people, when you manifest things, you also have to be in the position to receive them. And I said, I want to get a bunch of clients, and I want to sit there and work and do this kind of work. And I said, the first time I did this, and I was in my shop, as soon as I got in that shop, people started coming through the door, and I started doing my job. Here, I've been here, this is a whole lot different. It was almost like the first time I was here was like a preview. It gave me an insight to the whole place. And so when I came back here, I've actually had clients that are coming to the house now and getting readings. That was another thing, too. I was telling him, too. I said, not just the apartment. I said, when I walked in, all I had was an inflatable mattress. I said, now I have an apartment full of furniture. And he goes, really? I said, yeah. I was sitting here one day, and then people were giving me hints and said, you need to go out and look for some furniture, go to look at the yard sales. There's people always giving stuff away for free. You need to go out there and do that. But see, my guidance didn't say that. My guidance comes saying, there's no urgency to go out there. So just stay home, work. So I was working. And so I'm sitting here, and I decided to take a break one day. And then Monday morning, I was going to go out and go look for furniture, and it started raining. And I was like, jeez, it's raining now. Now I can't go look for furniture. About an hour later, someone come knocking on my door. Somebody had actually basically ran out of the rent and left all their furniture in this apartment up here. They came to my door and knocked on it and said, would you like to have some furniture? I'm like, you're kidding.
Yeah, that has happened to me before. When I first moved to Missouri, and it was just me, I was pregnant with my 4-year-old son, and went there to go to school and just start over, you know, and way back when. And I was sitting there I had a mattress on the floor that I slept on and a crate to sit on in my living room. And the manager of the apartment had a sister that liked to remodel her house every spring. She came knocking on my door and said, my sister's doing spring cleaning and wanted to know if I knew you didn't have any much furniture. Are you interested in a couch? It ended up being a couch, a love seat, a kitchen table, and chairs, and a TV stand, and some bookshelves, I think, or whatever. It was quite a bit of stuff that I got for nothing at all. Mm-hmm. I just kept, you know, as simple as saying, I wish I had, or it'd really be nice that I had this. And that did the same thing happen here, too, when I moved here. I sold all my furniture, and this house is fully furnished, and I barely bought any of the stuff I have in my house. It was quite amazing how that worked.
Yeah, also, we got to look at the situation, too. Guidance also protects us from getting things we don't need. I went to Aaron's the day before. Well, actually, three days before. I went to Aaron's to have a computer I got from Aaron's, right? And that pissed me off. I go there, and I'm sitting there, and I found this half moon sectional with all, you know, coffee table, end tables, lamps, the whole bit, everything, for $109 a month. I'm like, oh, great deal, right? So I'm sitting there, and I said, I want to get this. I filled the application out, filled the paperwork, right? And this one guy comes over to me and sits down and talks to me. We're sitting there talking about the whole thing. He looks on the computer, says he can't find my accounts or nothing like that. And I said, okay, no problem. So I'm out there waiting. Next thing I know, these two guys come out of nowhere. And they come up there, we need to talk to you. I'm like, what is this, some kind of interrogation? So they go into the room. The one guy says, I don't want to work with you. And the other guy goes, well, we just want to know what's up. I was like, okay, what do you mean, what's up? And he said, well, I was talking to Aaron's back in Ohio, and they don't know you're even here. I said, okay, makes sense. I never told him. He goes, well, why not? He says, in your contract that you have to do that. I said, okay, I'll go one step further. They know that when I, you know, I got up, it's a laptop. And I talked to the guy about it before, and the guy says, well, as long as you make your payments, we don't care where you go. Okay? And he's like, well, it says in your contract. I said, you know something? Okay. And the guy goes, well, you've also returned three things. And it does. The guy said, well, it does show that you paid on one thing, and you paid it off. But it shows you also had three. You had three contracts, and you took the stuff back. I'm still thinking to myself, I don't see the problem. I brought it back. Okay, and then he says, now you have an outstanding thing with this one. And I said, okay, what do you mean outstanding? And the guy goes, well, you're still paying on it. I said, okay, no problem. Because I said, this thing's paid up 2 months in advance. And he goes, really? And they checked it out, and sure enough, it was in April, and it was paid up until June. And I was sitting there telling him about that, and I couldn't understand what was going on. I was here at the guy. So the one guy said, I want to work with you. And the other guy says, well, I want to work with you, but we just want to figure out this whole thing. So I'm like, okay, what is this, bad cop, good cop thing? And I said, the one guy said, well, we don't know. Maybe you paid up 2 months, so you could skip. And I said, dude, if I paid up 2 months to skip, this is the last place I would have came. And then the guy looked at me and said, well, on that one account, you were almost 60 days late. And I said, yeah, it says almost, but I wasn't. And that's the truth. I wasn't 60 days late. And the guy didn't say nothing after that. And then he looked at me and said, well, in order to work with us, since you've had so much problems, I'm like, problems? I'm in the process of paying on something which I never had a problem with. And the guy goes to me and says, you're going to have to pay 2 months in advance, and you're going to have to give us all the documentation to prove that you have an income. I said, okay, no problem. Did I ever go back there again? No. It goes against their policy, you know. So when all this furniture fell in my lap, I was like, okay, I can see that. That's guidance and angels protecting me from buying something that I was going to be paying on monthly for a year when I had furniture coming that I wasn't going to pay a dime for. So, you know, we get manifestations that have a tendency to drop things in our laps, and there's other manifestations that keeps us from putting too much in our freaking house that we don't really need. And I was like, this is going to be great. I love that half moon sectional. Don't get me wrong. I mean, it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I love them too. I do. I really love them. They're very comfortable. And.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when they gave me all that trouble, I think because I got the impression the one guy wanted to work with me. This other guy was a district manager, and I never had any good luck with district managers. Yeah. I mean, I used to work for GNC, and the district manager came in one day, and he's like, "If you don't get this place back in." Up in the good standards in a month, we're going to fire you. I'm like, dude, I can walk out right now.